and more chat right now because it's Tuesday and we've got to shoot the breeze with Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Morning to you, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you for asking. Have you had a good week?
Yeah, so far.
Excellent, excellent. We've got quite a bit to talk about this morning, including smells that become associated with your memory. What's the science saying behind how smells actually bring our memories back?
Well, it has a lot to do with that supercharged direct line between the way we smell something and the way it connects to our brain, to the hippocampus. And it is an understanding around how this sort of sensory ecosystem actually rewires our brain architecture over time. So there are certain scents that we align with memory. So it's kind of like the scent of your grandmother's cooking or the scent of a new car. It will align forever in your mind with that particular memory. So you could smell something 20 years later and maybe you won't even know why you recognize or respond to that smell, but it will be how your sensory system has aligned it.
Right. So the next time I'm standing next to a cigarette, I'll go, oh, that was the smell of my Nan and Pa's house.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was.
Yeah. I mean, I have certain, like, for example, whenever I smell bleach, I remember being in school near the pools. Because you know how they used to clean. Yeah. And so the smell of bleach reminds me of swimming days at school. So, yeah, it's not even something conscious. We don't actually try to remember where we got this. It's an association cortex.
Yeah. Every time I smell eggs cooking, as in like fried eggs,
yeah,
it gives me a memory of my nan cooking us eggs on toast as a kid. And she would cook the eggs in the fry pan in an enormous amount of butter. And she'd not only put the eggs onto the toast, but then she'd tip some of the butter over the top of the eggs. And it was like, oh, my God, how good is that?
That sounds way better than what my boyfriend does. He just does boiled eggs for everything.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, moving on. Apparently your DNA can determine if you'll have a good marriage or not. I am so interested to hear about this. Please.
Variation in DNA, according to recent studies, and it aligned with the highest level of satisfaction in a relationship that led to marriage. So they found that things like financial issues or changes in the family dynamic and all of those things are obviously external factors that impact your marriage, but there is actually what they call a CC variation to the CD38 gene, which is linked to positive behaviours and perceptions. So therefore, the way you'll approach your relationship will change. So the people with this particular DNA variant had higher levels of marital satisfaction.
Right. So how do we find out if we've got this DNA variant?
Well, I was going to say, maybe like what you could do is like if you're dating someone, you could be like, well, let's do a DNA test.
Oh, okay.
If they fail, you'll be like, you're going to be a terrible partner.
Sorry. So what's the variant called again?
It's a CD38 gene. So it's a CC variation.
Yep.
CD38 gene.
CD38.
Yeah, so it's basically what's linked to the positive behaviours and the way someone intuitively responds to their partner.
Totally off topic here, I've just had a thought. My mind works in mysterious ways, Alex.
Yeah.
But the gene is called CD38, right?
Yeah.
I have my CD collection set up in alphabetical order. I feel the need for some reason to go home and count up to CD38 and see what that CD is.
Yeah, like if number 38 is like a really romantic song.
Oh, no,
it's science.
I will find out what CD38 is in my collection and I'll let you know next week, all right?
It'll be Love Hurts.
It probably will be Love Hurts. There are five ways to figure out if someone is trying to mislead you with science. To wrap up today, Alex Chelios, what are they?
So sometimes people who are trying to push anti-science propaganda on social media, they'll use certain terminology that makes you think they understand science. Usually, it's aligned to five specific narratives. So this comes from La Trobe University, and it's the first one is the us versus them narrative. So it's this idea that it's big government against us, it's big pharma, it's us versus an institution. We're supposedly working together against this big group of people that want to harm us.
Yep.
So that's the first one. The second one is they'll say things like, I'm not a scientist, but... And then they'll say something that is scientifically inaccurate and has no evidence, and then they'll make the person feel like, oh, I should have an open mind because they acknowledge they're not a scientist,
yep.
which is not what you should be doing. They also reference to the science not being settled. Now, science always evolves. That's the whole point of science. Good science replaces previous results. So it's, you know, a healthy debate, but it's not an example of trying to prove that research that is evidence-based is not legitimate in an argument. First, the fourth one is overly simplistic explanations. That's when people try to, you know, make claims that are just not realistic. Like, for example, oh, but people are dropping dead when they take the vaccine. Or, oh, but 5G is the cause of COVID-19. And then they don't give you any nuance or anything clear around that. It's just, they just say something frightening and complex. And then the final one is, of course, cherry-picking. And as you know, there are good doctors and bad doctors. There are doctors that push anti-science propaganda. There are doctors that are anti-vax. They will cherry-pick that the research that's been discredited or by someone who is discredited and push that one study.
I could never mislead anyone with science because my only claim to fame where science is concerned is nearly burning down the science classroom with a Bunsen burner.
Did you actually do that?
Close.
That's fun.
It was touch and go for a while, let me tell you.
Yeah. Interesting day at school.
Yeah. Alex Chelios will shoot the breeze next week. You have a good one, won't you?
Thank you. The printer and